What's so great about?
Welcome to What's So Great About, the podcast that knows it's not coming home. My name's Terry.
My name is Andy.
Andy, how the bloody hell are you?
Pretty well, Terry, and you?
I too am well.
Good to hear it, Chief.
Yeah, now you may have heard from my little opening salvo there
that
Man United lost like a bunch of losers on the opening day.
I was thinking about you. And normally, you see, obviously when United lose, I'm very happy, but I was actually thinking about you because I was thinking like, if that was my team and I'd waited so long for the Premier League to come back and you're full of optimism, you're like, okay, Saturday, 12:30, so not the best time slot.
The kiss of death.
Yeah, and then you lose. It's like the big talking point loss of the weekend. And then you get like, I can't even enjoy it. Up until that point, I guess.
Three hours later.
Yeah.
We were bailed out.
By Villa.
That was the next day. Spurs was the one.
Oh, yeah. A few shocking results now.
I'm being honest. United were bad.
Yeah.
Liverpool were bad.
Yeah.
City were bad.
Yeah.
You got a point.
Yeah.
City got three.
Yeah.
We got
Bupkis.
Yeah. So you know.
Yeah, sometimes.
And it's weird.
It's almost like the cycle of, hey, this interim manager's worth. Oh, no. It's kind of like that.
I'm not buying into that just yet.
Okay.
But looking at it, for a bit of analysis. We'll do a little bit.
Fanalysis. Hey.
They didn't look as fit as Hull.
No.
Hull looked way fitter, way sharper.
Yeah.
We had all the ball.
Yeah.
Created some chances. They were stronger. They were faster. They scored two from aggressive set plays.
Yeah.
And that's kind of it.
They look well. There's a team like Hull who are just
But you know what?
Did you just make them look good?
No, I think it's their first game back in the Premier League.
Yeah, they're up for it. Yeah, Home game.
It's the worst time you could play them.
Yeah.
It sounds like I'm making an excuse, but like, they're not going to put in that performance against Man United mid-October.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? The bubble will have burst by then. The novelty of being back in the Premier League will have worn off. And the other teams will have got up to speed.
It's like, oh, right, reality.
Yeah. It's like, oh, wait, these guys are much better than
There's always one, though, on the opening day, isn't there? Like a newly promoted, like, look at them.
I was looking back on it, though. It's like, our opening day fixtures. I can't remember the last time we won on the opening day.
Yeah.
Like, Solskjaer, I remember we won against Leeds. We won 5-1.
Yeah.
But like under Ten Hag, we lost our first two games. Let it not be forgotten.
It does. Do you know what? It really does make a difference. Now Liverpool keep their unbeaten opening day record, 14 years, I think.
Is it?
Yeah,
wow.
Something like that. Or it could be. I could have made that up. Maybe it was since 2013, 14, something like that. But still,
12.
Yeah, but I can't remember what my point was going to be.
Yeah, you drew.
Yeah, we drew anyway. But you know,
kind of got away with it.
We really got away with it. I mean, I thought like it was literally.
It's kind of similar to what United were. That it was like they out-muscled you, out-pressed you.
But the thing is that yeah, they did. Like they won all the duels. Yeah. They won everything. But like they were, I could see they were crap too.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
We were just worse. That's the same thing with the Hull. It's like Arsenal come here and just like grind it out.
Yeah, 3-0.
Yeah, Chelsea do the same. Like, oh, they moved the ball slickly.
A no incident 3-0 drubbing as well.
Give me one of them, please.
But I kind of thought
that's what I want this weekend. Home to Ipswich.
Ooh.
Nah, come on now. Give your old man a little credit.
Well, I tell you, it'll be crisis time if you don't.
If you lost the first two games to newly promoted clubs. Yeah, it's crisis time.
That's bad.
It's crisis.
I think with
it's crisis time.
With Liverpool's one, it was one of those. If the ball is just headed back out with that last clearance, it's the full-time whistle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It just happened to land. Van Dijk kind of won it back a little bit. Munoz, he got that dog in him, you see. That's the thing about Victor Munoz. And that's what we need in the team. We need more players who got that dog in
them. So was the bid for Ismail Sarr rejected?
Rejected. I mean, how embarrassing. What lack of strategy. So Liverpool, I mean, previously known for being quite diligent, getting their business done early, getting good deals, you know, all this sort of stuff. And now we are scrambling.
I mean,
the Barcola thing is just like, what's happening? You move first. No, you. The Mbai stuff, not really happening. Minta, they were looking for 80
The Minta
mil.
One, I'm like...
I mean, I was like, thank God they backed out of that. But then it was just like, what about this guy? Wait, well, look at that, Ed. It's like, sir?
Like, I like him.
He does well against us. Fucking world class against us.
We were linked with him at the start of the window, and I was like, you know what? You could do a lot worse.
But do you want him as your starting
winger?
But
that's not as your starting, but
you know,
like,
what I mean?
He wouldn't be your starting, I guess.
He would.
Rio's not going to be your guy this year?
He's not a right winger. Nah. I tell you what. He did Rio. I love Rio, but I think he's, at the minute, an impact sub. I don't think he looked like just switching from left to right. He looked like he was doing a completely different. It looked like, it's like he moved from sales to accounts. Like he moved from where he could just implement and do his little thing, and then on the right, it's like I gotta do all this extra shit. I gotta use my, you know,
nobody wants to go round the man anymore. They all go inside.
Yeah, but he kind of did on the left, you know. But he just didn't work on the right at all. And I mean, I was looking at like who would my first 11 be against Forest, and I'm like, Jesus, like I'm not happy with a huge chunk.
Looks like you're gonna keep Gakpo, which, and I don't know if you can
can't afford to lose him.
You can't afford to rely on him. I don't know.
We know he's gonna cut inside and shoot on his right and get the shot blocked. But sometimes the shot will go in.
We're 1-10. You know? It might hit the target.
Am I crazy? Please just put me out of my misery and tell me that I'm crazy, because I feel like I'm going mad. Why aren't we playing Endo beside Gravenberg in a six? Why is it all of a sudden he can't hang with the Premier League when...
Well, wasn't he not fit for that last year?
Well, he got injured being a fucking warrior and playing on through a limp because there was a fucking corner
going.
We don't need a flashy player next to him. We just need someone who is defensively minded, mm-hmm. who wants to be that sort of player to break up attack. He's actually a great header of the ball despite him being so tiny.
I mean, if you did that, you could have either one of Gravenberch or McAllister in there and push Szoboszlai to the 10 and get Wirtz out on the left.
Yeah, or put Szoboszlai on the right even. I don't mind that.
Yeah.
You know?
He's
a runner.
But also, he can cross the ball. Like, that fucking penalty. I was like, oh, he's missed it. Oh, no.
Do you know,
fucking rocket, like.
When I seen Gakpo with the ball, I was like, right, I'm 50-50 on this. Yeah. And then they were talking on the commentary. It's like, I'll tell you what, it could be Isak. And I was like, I've never been more confident of a player who's going to miss a penno.
Isak?
If it was Isak.
I think
the occasion got to him big time. He was shite.
I didn't watch the whole game.
Oh, man. The chorus of boos whenever he was anywhere near it. He's not one of those players who's like, oh, fucking show you. He kind of shrunk.
He's shrinking.
Yeah, and I thought, when I seen him eyeing up the ball, I was like, don't fucking touch that ball. And then when I seen Szoboszlai taking it, I'm like, oh, it's gone in top corner. Great.
Like, I mean,
I've never been more confident. But, yeah.
How'd you get on the fantasy?
Not good.
Ah.
I missed the first round.
What?
I missed the first round draft.
Who was your pick? Who's your first
Saka round? Just auto-picked for me.
Great. What do you mean? You missed it. You got one of the best picks.
I wouldn't have picked them. I don't know what my turn was. I can't remember. But I was like, I was just watching The Simpsons with Joe. And I was like, what time is it?
It's like
9:05. I'm like, bollocks. And I was saying all evening, like, got the fantasy draft. Got the big fantasy draft coming.
I had my glass of whiskey. I was sitting at the kitchen table. And then exactly that. I was like, ah, fuck. So he's like, what's wrong? Like, I got an 8 or whatever.
No, it really just comes down to that, doesn't it? Like,
and my first pick is like Wemo.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, then. I don't feel too bad.
But, and this is the thing.
I hope I wasn't first.
This is the thing, and no, you weren't. Yeah, first was Mark. He got Haaland.
Yeah, that's who I would have picked.
Paul Egan got Bruno second.
Yeah, that's probably why we would have picked.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot, but.
Egan's always up there, isn't he? Getting the top two at least.
Yeah. So, it's funny, though.
Weird.
But I'll tell you what, and I think he's gonna be their big player this year. Odegaard for Arsenal.
Oh, you think?
I thought at the back. I've been saying it.
Why
for
do
years.
You say that?
Well, I've been saying it for years. I think he's their best player.
He was quiet last year, though.
That's what I mean. Last 2 years, he's been on and off injured and not playing to his potential. When he does, I think
he's
their
the difference
best.
Maker. Yeah,
I think he is their best. Better than Rice.
Yeah,
I'll stand by that. I said it. I said it when we watched. Was it Inter Milan? It was that cup final, the Champions League cup final, PSG Inter.
Yeah.
That joke of a final. It was like 5-0 or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
I said it then, and I stick by it. I got him, and I got Ben White, and I got Havertz as well. So I got three Arsenal players that That's are going to play a lot. I got Alisson. I got Jack A.
Yeah.
He did jack shit.
Well,
he did jack shit.
Yeah,
Andy.
He didn't get out in free then. But you know what? He played well. It doesn't mean anything in fantasy terms.
Didn't even get the defensive contribution.
I tell you what, I put stick him in centre mid. Stick him. I mean, it's not fair on him, but you don't have a lot of options.
I wouldn't be sticking him in centre mid.
I mean, I'm just saying, just someone. But
your front line is where your problem is. Like,
yeah,
it's looking awfully thin.
Very thin. Isak and Vert's just. I think Vert like. I just don't know. Like, I think they'll come good. They have to.
Isak will. Isak's proven. He'll score goals.
He's Premier League proven. I think Vert's, but like so much of it is psychological. Like 90% of it is psychological. Like you see how good he is when he goes back and plays for Germany. Like,
yeah.
The shock. Yeah, he plays unreal for Germany on the left. And like, I just feel like, and even Isak with Sweden, like I'm like, where are these players like that we signed? So I think if we can, because they kind of came into the club when it was like on the real down. And
still's there.
Yeah, but if Iriola can just get them enjoying their football again. Sure. Then it'll all be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Simple.
Okay. Simple.
Football really is that simple, you know?
Yeah.
So.
You said it.
There you go.
Yep. That's all it is. Huh? This is the level of insight you are subscribing to on his YouTube channel, lads.
That is the level. They know that. I don't pretend to be anything other.
There are 5,000 followers there.
I'll just crack a few jokes to make up for my lack of tactical awareness or any sort of football intelligence, really.
He's the new voice of modern football.
Please get that camera out of my face. I don't want this. Anyway. Well, sir, do we are we going straight into the pitch stuff?
Do it,
folks. We're gonna pitch each other some movie ideas now. That's the premise. If you came to this episode looking for that, we're done with the football talk now, and we have both come up with two groundbreaking movie ideas. And basically, the premise is I'll pitch Terry a movie. He's the producer. And he tells me whether he would green light it or not, and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would you like to go first? No.
Sure. Yeah, I'll go first. Let me just. Sorry, I'm getting my notes up because.
No problem.
My notepad. Okay, got it.
Just like that.
Just like that.
From memory.
No. right. Okay. So.
Hit me, T. Come on in.
Hello.
Hi, what's your name?
It's Terry.
Hi, Terry. Sit on down. So, you got a couple of movie pitches for me?
I got one big one to start, okay?
All right. You got 5 minutes.
The title? This is Your Life.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just thinking of a funny joke earlier. What's your name? Okay, yeah, go on.
Okay. An aging megastar actor. He's done franchise movies. He's been up for Oscar stuff. He's, you know, big hit comedies throughout his career.
Okay.
Winding down. And he's been out of the public eye for the last few years. He's being celebrated with a television special in front of his friends and family.
Okay.
A la the old TV show, This Is Your Life. Remember the guy with the red book?
Of course.
Yeah.
Excuse me, I'm just pouring myself.
Oh, can I have one of
whiskey?
Those?
I'm afraid not. Please continue.
Oh, okay. Well, so it's a big hoopla. Think the TV portion of Magnolia.
Okay.
Where there's a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff going on before. And
I haven't seen it, but go on.
What do you mean? You're a movie producer.
I produce them. I don't watch them.
The poster is on your wall.
Yeah, it made me a lot of money. That piece of trash. All right. So, yeah, okay. And which so far?
So, as the show goes on, they talk about all, you know, funny stories. They roast them a little bit.
So it's kind of like a little bit of a roast, but it's...
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, okay.
You know.
Can I stop you again?
Yeah.
Do you have an actor in mind?
Yes. Michael Keaton.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Is he playing Michael Keaton? He
could. He's playing a version of himself now. I think for what comes next for
I'm really happy to be here.
Is it Beetlejuice is here? I didn't say his name. Did you say his name?
I didn't say his name.
Well, maybe you just snuck in there a little bit.
That's good. Okay, yeah. That's good. Okay.
See, I could actually be in this movie.
I genuinely
too.
Thought I was just doing Michael Keaton, to be honest with you.
Okay. Right. So, as the show goes on, and they talk about all the funny stories, about the great time that was happening, you know, and it's like, and they show clips, and kind of like, also a bit of a, like, Oscars in memoriam piece. A picture of a young lady, kind of unknown to everybody, is shown up there. And the Keaton character gets a little spooked. He's like, I haven't seen that person in forever.
Who the fuck's that?
Eventually, as it goes on, as the onion is peeled, and, you know, the friends and family's questions get a little bit more sterner, or they're... You know, the eulogy or that they're giving is a lot less friendly, and it becomes a little bit darker. It is revealed that the actor has been notorious behind the scenes of Hollywood, using and abusing young women.
Oh, wow.
Right?
I wouldn't know anything about that, but please
continue.
The
show kind of devolves into a kangaroo court, where the presenters, his friends and family, they pressure him into breaking down and confessing to his crimes. That girl that you saw on the thing, she was supposed to be in a movie with him, and she disappeared and it was never seen again.
Oh, so he's a murderer as well.
Well, you don't know. That's the great, you know, conflict. Is he going to be able to break down, or is he going to, you know, is he going to want to unburden himself, or is he too much of a piece of shit to just shut down again?
And
are
the cameras actually rolling, or is that just a ruse to get
the
him?
The cameras are rolling.
The family and friends want to tank his career.
They found out about this.
Not doing this privately. There,
his career is done. You know. Okay. What I mean? But they want him to confess
live on air.
Well, I don't know if it's going to be live or it's going to be live to tape.
Okay.
That's also another thing.
Okay. You know? We can work with that.
Yeah. The presenter?
Please.
It's going to be his protege, a young lady that he had taken under his wing. Emma Stone.
Nice. Yeah, I could see that. Yeah. I could see that, yeah.
His son, that at the time when this is happening, doesn't want to believe it. He's also like a bit taken aback as it's happening. And then does he turn on his dad? Or does he decide to stay and support my dad? Then my dad never did those things.
And is this role played by, who did you say it was?
I haven't said yet. Oh. I was going to say Jesse Plemons.
Oh, I don't know who that is.
Jesse Plemons is Todd.
The guy, the face.
Todd from Breaking Bad.
The face. Erling Haaland.
What?
The guy who kind of looks like Erling Haaland.
He doesn't look anything like Erling Haaland. He's married.
Confusing him with someone else.
You know him.
What's his name?
Jesse Plemons.
This piece of shit name.
He was in The Master. He's the new Philip Seymour Hoffman. That's what everybody's saying.
Plemons. Erling Haaland, yeah.
It doesn't look anything like Erling.
He does.
And
38. Huh.
One of his old friends that starts to turn the screws on him.
Yeah.
Wants to talk turkey.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Daniels.
No. Big fan of Jeff. I've worked with him many times. Okay. Is that it?
Yep. This is the prestige pick. We're talking. We're finally going to get Keaton his Oscar. You know, fifth time of asking.
I don't care much for the Academy, but that's fine. So just a couple of questions.
Yes, of course.
So the family and friends are ambushing him.
Yeah.
And essentially, potentially tanking his public
image.
They
want him to face his punishment.
Could they just do it without going live, and he thinks they're live?
You could do it like that. That's sure. If you want to do that,
you know. But maybe someone else. You know, these punts with their phones, and they someone in the fucking grip has a fucking, well, someone caught me with my trousers down, and I thought the cameras were off.
Sir.
Huh?
Figuratively or literally?
Literally. All right. And I didn't appreciate it. Let's just say that grip is very, very dead now.
Wait, what?
What did I say? Wait, are we rolling? So maybe that could happen. Maybe it could be the family aren't exactly, like, do they hate him?
Well, some of them do. The son, because
they don't know.
The son is out of the loop, you know what I mean? But it's
they don't know, do they?
Well, they feel, that's the thing, they found some stuff.
Oh.
And it's like, oh, well, the only way...
Irrefutable.
To get him to get him into this position to, you know, maybe unburden himself. He's such an egomaniac that it's like, well, he'll do it if we're honouring him, you know, for his lifetime achievements.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because he's become a bit of a recluse, you see.
He
doesn't want to see anybody.
Okay. With good cause.
With good cause, yeah.
Okay. And what's the name of this again?
This Is Your Life.
Okay, let's work on that.
But that's the name of the show. So it's a good... What do you want to call it? Life story?
No, like... Surprise! Exclamation point. How about that? Starring Michael Keaton in Surprise. All right? Something like that. Big, like, goofy, bubbly font. You know,
it's not exactly.
You know,
it's not exactly what I had in mind.
That's the vibe you were. No,
no.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what? I like your style, Terry. I'm going to greenlight that.
Yeah, all right.
I'll give you a budget of. What did Obsession have a budget of?
750,000.
I'll give you 250,000.
I'm going to need
10x that. 2.5 million. I'll give you
100 times that. 200 times that.
200 times. What's that? 550 million?
Yeah, roughly.
Okay. That's fast math.
Yeah. I'm talking paying the actor's salaries. I'm talking paying my salary. Because I'm the director as well, by the way.
How much are you going to command? How much of that are you going to command?
Well, that's for me.
Keaton drives a...
Yeah, I know.
Jesse Plemons is, you know...
I can get them to work for scale. But for me...
Okay.
I got to buy a house out of this.
All right.
You understand that, right?
I will give you the deal if I get 20% of the back end.
I mean, it's your studio. You get all of the back end.
Right, well, I'll tell you what. I don't like the way you're talking to me. I prefer you begging for the money dynamic. Okay, so... but fine. We're greenlit. I like your idea. Okay? Think about the title. Surprise! Okay?
Okay.
Okay. Son of a bitch, you'll fry.
Okay. All right, one down, okay.
All right, that's good.
Yeah, thank you.
I got one. Okay, this one is called Pig Parkers. A Vigil Up the Ante, okay?
Oh.
All right. It's starring Jason Bateman.
Is it a comedy?
It's a dark comedy.
The tagline makes it when you say...
Vigil Up the Ante?
Yeah. I'm sorry, what was your name again, son?
Sorry, my name is Andy Cantwell.
Pleasure to meet you, Andy.
Thank you, you too. I've heard a lot about you. And it's
here at Shark Tank Studios, we like to cut to the quick.
Oh, well.
So, you know.
That's exactly how I roll, to be honest. So
brilliant.
I think we could be a great fit.
So what I want you to do is picture us in a big tank, you know, me and you. We're sitting here. On a couple of floaties in a shark tank. And if you don't have the pitch done within, say, 5 minutes, you get eaten by a shark.
Wow.
So the clock is starting.
Okay.
Take your time. You got a whole 5 minutes.
It's just I feel a lot of pressure now. But okay,
remember, so it's imaginary.
Pig Parkers.
But the bodyguards will be the sharks.
Will eat your ass.
No, they will.
Something like that. They'll eat your ass.
Excuse me. Right. Excuse me. I'm the executive here.
I'm coming in with the wrong attitude.
Yeah,
I'm
really
sorry.
And you're at 4 minutes 20.
Okay. Pig Parkers, A Vigil Up the Ante. Okay.
So far, so.
Jason Bateman is a normal dad. Does his job, plays by the rules, bit of a pushover.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
A stretch for old Jason, right?
Well, this is it. Now, his big pet hate is people parking badly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm pulling a lot of real life inspiration for this.
You drive in LA?
If you can call it driving. I sit in LA.
you know what I've really gotten into these days?
Yeah.
Waymo.
What's that?
It's a robot car.
What?
That's right. I just get in my robot car and he drives me where I need to go.
Only in LA, huh? City of Angels.
How the other half live.
So his big thing is parent-child parking when they have no kid, right? Something I feel very strongly about as well.
You know what? I listened to a podcast about a week ago. And
not familiar.
Two Irish guys were banging on about this.
The guy with the glasses seemed pretty funny.
Yeah. I was lost in the other guy's luscious hair.
I mean, it is luscious. Yeah.
I couldn't take my eyes off it.
A guy in a white BMW takes the last parent-child spot. So Jason Bateman's with his kid, but he confronts the guy. The guy says, fuck off, right? So he's like, the guy leaves, goes into Aldi, or the convenience store, excuse me.
Okay, 7-Eleven?
Walmart,
okay.
The guy leaves, and Jason Bateman folds his mirrors in, you know, like just as a little petty little, well, you're going to have to unfold them. But he liked it, and it made him feel a bit better, okay? So he doesn't get into it with him, because he's got his kid with him, so it drives him home. Then it escalates. Stickers on cars, like, I'm a prick, Parker, something like that. Really hard to get off. Letting air out of the tires, keying cars, spitting on cars.
Ooh.
If you can imagine such a thing.
Yes.
Starts to get a bit of a reputation. Who is the Pig Parker vigilante? You better not park there. The Pig Parker vigilante is going to get you. Okay. So some people love it, some people hate it. You know, it's all on social media. Who is the Pig Parker? I like him. If you ever did that to me, oh, you'd want to knock, you know, all that sort of shit. Someone catches him. CCTV shows him pissing in someone's gas tank.
Oh, okay. All right.
So he's really up in the ante here, right? He's really getting it. Eventually, the police are onto him. Because by this stage, he's just straight up crashing into bad cars.
Does he have a costume? Does he have a mask? Is he hiding his identity in any way, shape, or form? Does he have his long hair?
He does have his long hair. He has sunglasses and a baseball cap.
I want him to cut his long hair.
Impossible. The movie doesn't get made if he doesn't have long hair.
I'm the only one on set that's allowed to have good hair, all right?
Threatened by his bad hair.
His hair is quite long. Longer than my hair.
So
I want.
Okay, I will say.
I want Arrested Development style haircut, Jason Bateman.
Can he wear a wig?
No,
I need him to have the long hair. It's integral to the plot.
In what way?
I'll get to it.
You better. Time's ticking. Sharks are circling.
So, anyway, the police catch him. Please catch him. The police catch him crashing into a badly parked car that's at least a foot and a half away from the curb. Okay. In traffic. Okay. High speed chase ensues. It's a bit like if you are familiar with the movie Falling Down.
I sure am.
A man who snaps.
Joel Schumacher and I spent a wonderful weekend in Amsterdam together.
Fantastic. Don't know what that has to do with the movie, but
Joel Schumacher, of course, directed Falling Down.
Oh, of course. You think I don't know that?
He was a wonderful man. I miss him every day.
Is he still dead?
Yes, he's dead.
That's a shame.
Don't you take his name in vain.
High-speed chase ensues. He's clipping the mirrors of badly parked cars on his way.
Yeah, can I?
Yeah.
Make a suggestion.
Yeah.
Instead of clipping them with his car, he has
baseball bat.
A golf club, but a baseball bat works too.
Mm.
Or even a kid's wiffle ball bat.
Fucking
because it's
parking.
His kid's thing.
I don't know if would that be heavy enough, though. I want a steel bat.
You know, it's just like, meow, meow,
meow. I want him to do some real damage, though.
It's
got to be metal.
Hockey.
That would snap at the speed he's going. High-speed chase. He needs
high
a
alloy.
Metal bat. High alloy.
Yeah.
No. That would snap.
It's like having a claw.
Oh, I'm driving high speed here as I'm clipping these
things.
This
is my pitch to you.
Okay.
And within your pitch.
I'm going to have to say no to that. It's integral that he has something heavy.
Just like the hair, huh? I believe
exactly.
It when I hear it.
So the chase is going on. He pulls into a supermarket where the chase all began. And what does he see? The original BMW parked once again in the parent-child spot. Well, he fucking loses it. He smashes into the car. The police are around him. He gets out. He's like, put your hands up. It's finally over. The BMW owner comes out of the supermarket. And he's like, my fucking car. And who comes behind him? His wife and a kid. Bawling. The kid's like, Daddy, who's that man? He's like, I don't know, son. And the wife's like, arrest him. You know, like, it turns out he had every right to park there. And the movie ends with the guy is staring at the screen laughing as he's getting lowered into the police car, like fade to black.
Okay, so one, you didn't mention the hair. So that's going.
Okay, well, we'll talk about
that. The hair is going. Uh-huh. Two, he's our hero.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he's our hero. That's
he's arrested and he's fine.
But I'm going to need you to give me a police cop counterpoint to be investigating him. You know what I mean? The kind of policeman, the detective that has been kicked off the murder squad.
The detective.
And he's been demoted down to like, this is your level. Find the Pig Parker vigilante.
What's the name of the guy from Mission Impossible? And you must be out of your mind.
Tramell Tillman.
Yeah, Tramell Tillman is the police sergeant. No. Okay. And he's like, he's trying to, there's like an intercom thing as he's chasing. And it's like, it's not worth it, vigilante. You know, like, he's like, I'm a victim of bad parking myself. You know, that sort of stuff. It doesn't have to be this way. It's too late for me now. You know, that sort of stuff. So,
yeah, you know.
What do you say, T?
I'm going to pass. It's not much of a movie.
Okay, I've given you a bona fide hit, and if you don't take it, A24 will.
This is a comedy. You said this is a comedy.
It's a dark comedy. He gets up to all sorts. You know?
Like what?
Hey, look, I had a proper ending. How does your movie end?
Well, the crux of what movie? This one here that I made last month.
Yeah,
Spider-Man: Brand New Day. It ends. Well, I don't want to give away the ending. I want people to go see it. It ends with over a billion, with over 2 billion worldwide. That's how it ends.
Is it?
Yes.
Already?
Yes.
Oh, well, that's right. Impressive, sir.
And my webs are all over it.
Oh, well, that's disgusting.
How dare you?
I see a pass.
A pass.
Okay, well, I'll tell you. I'll take this to A24 and that'll be all over.
This to me, as president of Sony Pictures International...
This is Sony.
This to me sounds like Netflix original all over it. They'll give you a budget, you'll make a piece of trash, it'll be lost to time, nobody'll ever watch it again. But hey, you know what? You and Bateman, you have the time of your life. Have his hair down to his asshole if you want.
Oh, you know what?
This
I
is
will.
The real me. I was being nice when you came in here.
Were you, sir?
Yes, I was. Didn't you hear how friendly I was?
Not really, but you know what? That's fine.
Well, now
I don't want to do business with someone who doesn't want a long hair.
How do you think I got this chair?
Stole it off the last guy?
Yeah, slit his throat.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay.
Metaphorically.
And literally.
Stood on his neck to get to the top.
Literally.
Yeah. That's what I did do at the corporate retreat. I got to the top of the pyramid by standing on his neck.
Okay, well... You know what? Jesus. let's move this along here. Terry?
Yes. Well, let me...
Okay, so you don't...
Meanwhile, back over at... Meanwhile, at...
Southern Dandy Productions.
At Southern Dandy Productions.
Well, hell, how do you do? You got a movie from me, Slick?
yes, I do, sir.
We don't got a lot of time.
Yes, I do.
I'm a very impatient
I've got a movie... For you, do you like cop movies?
Absolutely cannot stand them.
Oh, no. Well, maybe this will change your mind. I've got Matthew McConaughey attached to star. He's not a dandy, but he's a southerner.
All right.
He's from Texas.
I do like my Texans.
Where are you from, sir?
The South.
I see. Okay, well, the movie I'm pitching to you is called Exigent Circumstances.
Excuse me?
Exigent Circumstances.
Exigent.
Exigent.
Exigent Circumstances.
Look it up. Look up the phrase.
I gotta look it up. Tell me what it means.
I can tell you what it means.
Exigent Circumstances.
Yes.
How do you even spell this?
Exigent Circumstances.
Exigent circumstance. A formal adjective that means needing immediate attention or demanding a great deal of effort. Huh, I'm exigent.
Yeah.
Exigent circumstances.
It is. Okay. It is. It is commonly.
I'm going to veto the title.
Okay.
Right now.
It is. Well, it'll make sense. It is a commonly used police term where they need to conduct a search because they think that something terrible has gone wrong. So you know, if you need to get into a house without a warrant, and you think somebody is at risk, exigent circumstances means you could break, you know, bust the door in. Okay.
I see.
So. We've got our cop character played by Ireland's own Colin Farrell. He's obsessed with catching this mob boss that has been slipping through his fingers for the past decade plus.
All right, yeah.
Boss is Matthew McConaughey.
All right.
He's taken his drug empire up from the south and has started to spread it around Detroit City. In order... Colin Farrell has exhausted every possible avenue in trying to take him down. But he knows if he could just get into his house, he'd be able to dig up some dirt. So he comes up with a plan. Last resort. He has a confidential informant, played by Danny McBride, a 10-time loser that only stays out of jail by having Colin Farrell protect him. And in return... he gets dirt on all the criminals he needs. Colin Farrell is a vice cop, by the way, I meant to say. He's a drug cop.
All right.
Yeah?
What's Danny McBride doing?
Yeah. So Colin Farrell sends Danny McBride in to break into the house.
All right.
Okay? And when he does that, Colin Farrell is going to be responding to an anonymous tip that he heard a break-in in the house, and they treat it as a crime scene, and
that's
then they
pretty
can just
good.
They can just... search whatever they need to, okay?
That's pretty good.
When Colin Farrell breaks into the house, however, McConaughey's not home. His son, Alden Ehrenreich.
did you make that up or is
no,
that?
No, did you see Weapons?
Yes.
You know the cop from Weapons, kind of piece of shit guy?
Yeah.
He's McConaughey's son.
Okay.
An entitled little shit. He's in the house and ends up killing McBride as an intruder. This sends Farrell into a bit of a panic because he set up this whole thing.
Yeah.
And the plan was for him to get in and search it and let McBride escape. You know, they chased off the robber, but he got in through that loophole of the break-in. So now McBride is dead. Ehrenreich is trying to clean up the scene. Farrell is outside. He knows something's going on. And then Farrell hears a woman scream. A young lady is being held captive there by Ehrenreich. Turns out he's a bit of a freak. Likes to get Sancho rough with clown. The ladies.
Ah.
And this was his latest victim there. Indy Navarette.
Gesundheit.
She's from Obsession. She is quite hot right now, sir.
Huh. I love hot ladies. Like the hot weather we get down south.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Yes, sir. So... Farrell is torn. What does he do? How is he going to get out of this? He decides to burst into the house and take down the son. But as he does that, he sets off the alarm. McConaughey and his goons are on the way home to help the son. So now he's trapped in the house with Ehrenreich, and he has to protect the girl. And McConaughey and his goons are barreling down. How is he going to escape? How many of them does he have to kill before he can get out? Kind of turns into Die Hard in a drug dealer's mansion.
Oh, kind of like that movie The Rip.
Kind of. Yeah, I didn't even think about that. Except for the drug money,
for all that other stuff.
Except for the cartel.
I tell you what, it sounds a little complicated, but...
I'll get you there. I'll take my hand.
I will not, sir. Under the eyes of God, I will not touch another man's hand. I will not touch another man's leg. I will never, as long... In fact, this meeting is over. The movie's off. Everything's off. Don't ever darken my door again. Okay.
Well, okay. Was a pleasure meeting you.
I wish I could say likewise. Give me my 2 o'clock. Send in the next guy on your way out, will you, idiot? All right.
That was nice.
Thank you.
I enjoy talking like that. That was good. Yeah. I wouldn't. I'll pass on that.
You're only passing because I passed on yours.
No.
Same as it ever was.
I don't do that.
Same as it ever was.
But it was a bit too. It was a bit complicated.
Okay.
It didn't hook me enough. You know what I mean? The premise was. Some of the stuff was good. Like, oh, the way he gets in the house was good.
Exigent circumstances.
I can't believe that's the first time I've heard that word. How? 41.
How? I hear it at least once a month in some sort of
It's going to be one of those things now where I'm going to hear it three times this week. Okay. Well.
All right.
Okay.
Meanwhile, at Top of the Morning Productions.
Oh, is this an Irish company? Ah, oh, hello, sir.
Hello.
Okay.
And welcome to Top of the Morning Productions.
Are you doing an American, doing an Irish accent, sir?
I'm from Chicago originally.
Ah, I see.
Okay.
Well, I have a movie pitch for you, and I won't take up too much of your time.
Hit me.
This movie is called When the Cats Are Away.
All right.
Okay. Starring Ewan McGregor, Jason Biggs.
Jason Biggs?
That's right. It's going to be a comeback. Jason Segel.
All right.
And Will Arnett.
That piece of shit.
The same.
Me and Will go way back.
Oh.
We like to get some dogs, go see the Cubs.
I was like, excuse me? All right,
Chicago. Baseball, slick.
I'm not familiar. I'm Irish, so we're not familiar.
You're Irish as well, like myself.
Not quite like yourself, sir.
That Chicago thing is just to get me in the door in the States. I'm actually from...
What part of Ireland are you from, bro?
Oh, great question. Limerick.
Limerick, wow. I know people in Limerick. They do not sound like that.
Well, I move around quite a bit, to be honest.
Oh, again, it kind of goes in and out. You've got a bit of a twang, a Chicagoan twang.
No. No, man.
All right.
Oh, sorry. All right.
Sorry, was that Jamaican there?
No.
Okay, four friends realize that their families and kids are all away the same weekend.
Ooh.
No responsibilities. So they all meet up for a pint and they end up talking about like mortgages, chores, my kids starting Dartmouth in the fall, you know, that sort of stuff.
Dartmouth. Did you go to Dartmouth?
No, sir.
Where'd you go? Hit me.
I went to DIT Bolton Street, sir.
Ireland?
So one guy goes, come on, guys, we got 3 days. Let's go to Ibiza. And they're like, Ibiza, you're crazy.
Where are they living? You tell me, Hoagie, where are they living? Where's this shit? America?
Good question. Yeah, America.
Okay.
No, change Ibiza to Vegas.
Okay.
So they're in America, they're going to Vegas. Okay. Simple.
Where are they? Are they living in LA or are they, where are they?
They are in Utah.
Okay.
All right, close enough.
Are they Mormons?
A couple of them are.
I don't like that. Take out the Mormon.
Okay, they're gone.
Yeah, make them Roman Catholic.
Okay, well, it really is
Irish.
Their
Roman
religious
Catholic
sensibilities.
It's important to me.
It's not okay. Well, okay, sure. We can. It can be suggested in the fine print.
Lots of rosary beads in their cars. And
I need to dial down the religion. It's a feel-good sort of comedy here.
Why don't you make that one of the characters that he's super Christian?
We'll talk about it.
Super Catholic.
Okay, we'll talk. Maybe Ewan McGregor could be.
Hey, now there is a Celt if ever I saw one.
Exactly.
You know, in the Trainspotting movies, he's a Hibernian fan. Did you know that?
I didn't.
Yeah. He talks about when George Best played for Hibs, which is a very important part of my life as well, being that I'm Irish.
Okay, and, they're Scottish, though.
Yeah, I know, but we Irish have a very strong connection to Hibernian and Celtic. Mm. You wouldn't understand, considering you're from the Pale. Am I right in saying that?
Well, I'm a bit of a Wicklowman these days, sir, but...
DIT Bolton Street is all I've heard out of you.
Yeah, but you know what? It's a real hub of... Cultures and people from all over.
What did you say?
DIT. I mean,
what the fuck did you say? Finish your fucking pitch.
Okay, so they go to Vegas, right?
Right.
No, sorry, they don't go to Vegas yet. It's like Vegas, you're crazy. Ewan McGregor's like, aye, crazy enough to lace your pints with ecstasy.
Is he Scottish?
Yeah, Ewan McGregor is Scottish, yeah.
In the movie?
In the movie, he's Scottish.
Right. How does he know these guys if he's Scottish?
They went to college.
Right.
Dartmouth.
Okay. He went to Dartmouth and then his kid is going to Dartmouth?
Like father, like son.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
And then so it's like, ecstasy, next scene, four tickets to Las Vegas, please. They're in the airport like, ooh, you know, gone crazy.
They wouldn't let him on the plane.
So they go mental, clubs, drugs, hotel, VIP tables, etc., right?
Is one of them really rich?
Well, wait for it.
Will Arnett playing himself?
They wake up in
a... You got that BoJack money, you know?
Yeah, they wake up in a destroyed...
More than you and I will ever see in our lives.
Yeah, well, they wake up in a destroyed suite and realize they've spent $30,000 on Jason Biggs' company card. Okay? Oh, his boss is not going to be happy.
Who's the boss?
Rob Corddry.
Yeah.
Okay.
I need somebody with a bit more authority.
What about the guy from Mad Men, John Hamm?
Hamm. Yeah.
You can ham it up with the best of them. The boss calls.
You can do Chicago.
Boss calls. He's like, why did you spend 30 fucking grand in Vegas? He panics and he tells him he's entertaining a huge potential client. Right.
What's his job?
It's undefined. Okay.
Yeah. Tale as old as time.
He goes, is that...
Mergers and acquisitions, right?
That's what it is. Buy and sell, you know, you know what I mean.
Sell high, buy low.
I think it's the opposite. No.
Yeah,
no,
buy that low, is what, sell that is high.
That's why I was never in the business, sir. Yeah. So he says he's entertaining a huge potential client. And Rob Corddry's like, is that Don Teller? Amazing. I've been trying to get him for months. And the guy's like, yeah, it's Don Teller.
You got to lose Corddry. It's Ham.
Sorry, Ham. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. He's like, yeah, I've been trying to get him for months. You know, I'm actually in Vegas tomorrow. I'll come meet him.
So
they're like, fuck. So one of the friends has to pretend to be the millionaire client, Jason Segel. Right.
Okay.
So he's hamming it up and he's giving it all the, you know, I'll tell you something about your company. You know, that sort of stuff.
So that guy has never met Don Teller before?
No.
Hmm.
No, never.
You might want to put that in that he's like...
He's never met Don Teller before.
The reclusive billionaire or something like that.
Yeah, he's eccentric. Yeah. Okay. And he shows it. So he hams it up and he wins over the boss. And the boss invites him to their big investor pitch to show all the investors, like, hey, look who we got Don fucking Teller to invest in our company.
Is this all the one weekend?
You should do it too. Yeah.
Okay.
So he has to pretend to be the millionaire client. He hams it up. Eventually it all comes out, I'm a fraud, we made the whole thing up, you know, that sort of stuff. But one investor really loves the honesty and invests in the company anyway, and saves the company.
His name Don Teller. That's your movie right
brilliant.
There. That's your movie right there. The real Don Teller, because nobody knows what he looks like. He's sitting there eating a dog.
Sir, that's the difference maker right there. That's actually genius.
A dog with mustard.
Are you, where are you from again, sir?
Chicago. Anyway, Farina, so God like, bless his soul, like, we go way back.
I'm just gonna yay, we won the thing. And then the wife texts, hey, we're coming home early, the kid is sick. And it's like, fuck. So then Don Teller,
and Harnett.
So then Don Teller, the real Don Teller, says, hey, take my personal chopper and we'll fly you back home. So they fly home.
Jet.
Or whatever. Yeah, jet, be quicker. And they just make it in. By the time the wives and all the kids get in, it's like, how was your weekend? Like, uneventful.
I can't license that.
Well, something like that.
They're my mortal enemies.
What do you say?
I lost a card game to Mark Hoppus 5 years ago. My antique baseball collection.
He owns all the rights to his songs again. I can't use it.
I'll get them back.
What do you say?
You know what? I like it. We're going to have to tighten it up a little bit. And maybe I'll substitute out a couple of those stars that you're talking about.
100 mil. Shake my hand. You shake my hand right now. You got 100 mil.
100 mil?
Yeah.
You get 35.
35 mil?
40.
Sold.
Push.
Sold. You've more money than sense, mate.
I'm trying to bring back.
Oh, there it is.
The mid-range budget comedy.
It's been sorely lacking, to be honest.
And I miss it.
I miss it too.
That's my goal.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I'm all for that. And I'm all for taking the 40 mil and making this movie. So thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Okay. I remember, finding it hard to place your...
He needs to have the rosary.
Okay.
Well, I need to, and you know what? If one of them, when they think it's all going wrong, if they could say a little prayer to the wee baby Jesus...
Okay.
It'd be fantastic.
Okay. Maybe we could work it into like a post-credit scene.
Why would it be post-credit? It has to be when the all is lost moment is happening.
Hmm. Maybe he says a little prayer.
And then we play some Aretha Franklin.
Yes.
And then everybody starts singing.
The investors.
Hey,
you're all right. Yeah. We'll invest. Yeah. I like the way you do business.
Okay. Okay. Definitely now. 50, all right. 50 million.
Get it!
You got yourself 10 million more. Okay.
That's good.
That was fun.
Oh, that was good. See, now I didn't use any AI for any of those.
I can tell. It's a little less slick than the last few times.
You know what? That's what it's all about, huh?
All right. Well, let's wrap it up.
All right.
Thank you so much for supporting the pod.
Mm-hmm. And if you like this sort of format, we have a bunch more over on Patreon, about 5 or 6 other episodes, specifically just pitching movies. Some of them we pitch 3 each. So there's a whole bunch there if you like that sort of thing. You'll also find early access to these episodes, the main episodes. You'll find access to all of our mini-series, like What's So Great About the Movies of Danny Boyle, which we're doing at the minute. What's So Great About the Movies of 2007, of heist movies, of Matt Damon movies, MCU, Big Willy's Flops, a.k.a. Will Smith's Bad Movies, 90s action movies, Ryan Gosling movies. Just keeps going and going. And a bunch of music episodes, a bunch of our top 5 lists of this and that. It's a good time.
It's good time. But if you can't afford the 5 euro a month, then you can do me one more bet and give me a rating and review now. And you just said it earlier on, Liverpool supposedly have a 14-year unbeaten streak on the opening day of the season. Okay. But I don't want a 14-star review.
Nice.
I want a 5-star review.
How does he do it?
And before I forget, because I've forgotten the last 10 episodes, we'll say a big thank you to Neil Murray Music, who does our incredible theme song here. And he does our music over on the Patreon, a nice fancy one there. You can get Neil over on the socials at Neil Murray Music. And he's regularly gigging around and just being an all-time great
guy. I'll tell you what, he's a proper music man. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
A proper music man.
Where'd that come from?
I don't know. I don't even know where I'm supposed to be from. Yeah. The accent stuff Jason is really throwing me. I'll tell you what, he is a proper music man, yeah?
Until next time,
though. Fuck off.